Jess. It's evening, and I'm back in the apartment, gazing out into the courtyard, looking up and down at the illuminated squares of my neighbor's windows, trying to catch a glimpse of one of them moving around. I've texted Nick a couple of times to ask if he's heard anything from the police, but I haven't heard anything back yet. I know it's way too soon, but I couldn't help myself. I'm grateful for his help earlier. It's good to feel I have an ally in this. But I still don't trust the police to do anything. I'm starting to feel itchy again. I can't just sit around waiting to hear. I shrug on my jacket and step out of the apartment onto the landing, not knowing what I'm going to do, but knowing I need to do something. As I pause, trying to decide what that is, I realize I can hear raised voices somewhere above me, echoing down the stairwell. I can't resist following the sound upwards. I start to climb the stairs, up past Mimi's on the fourth floor, listening for a moment to the silence behind the door. The voices must be coming from the penthouse. I can hear a man speaking over the others, louder than the rest. But I can hear other voices now, too, though they all seem to be talking at once. I can't make out any of the words, though. Another flight of stairs, and I'm on the top landing, with the door to the penthouse apartment in front of me, and to my left that wooden stepladder leading up to the old maid's quarters. I creep towards the door of the penthouse apartment, wincing at every creak in the floorboards. Hopefully the people inside are too distracted by the sounds of their own voices to pay attention to anything outside. I get right up close to the door, then drop down and put my ear to the keyhole. The man starts to speak again, louder than before. Crap, it's all in French, of course it is. I think I hear Ben's name and I go tense, craning to hear more. I can't make out a single...
Elle est dangereuse.
Wait. Even I can guess what that means. She is dangerous. I press my ear closer to the keyhole, listening hard for anything else I might understand. Suddenly, there's the sound of barking right up close to my ear. I stumble away from the keyhole, half fall backwards, try and scrabble my way to standing. Shit. I need to get out of here. I can't let them see. You. Too late. I turn back. She stands there in the doorway. Sophie Meunier. Wearing a cream silk shirt and black trousers. Crazily sparkling diamonds at her earlobes. Her expression so frosty that they might be tiny icicles she just sprouted there. There's a small grey dog at her feet, a whippet, looking at me with gleaming black eyes. What are you doing here? I heard voices. I trail off, realizing that hearing voices behind someone else's apartment door isn't exactly a good excuse to go and eavesdrop. Silver-tongued Ben might be able to, but I can't find a way of talking myself out of this one. She looks like she's trying to decide what to do with me. Finally, she speaks.
Well, as you are here, perhaps you will come in and join us for a drink.
She's watching me, waiting for an answer. Every instinct is telling me that going inside this apartment would be a very bad idea. Sure, I say. Thanks. I look down at my outfit. Converse, shabby jacket, jeans with a rip at the knee. Am I dressed okay? Her expression says she thinks there's nothing remotely okay about anything I'm wearing. But she says, "You're fine as you are. Please, come with me." I follow her into the apartment. I can smell the perfume she's wearing, something rich and floral,
although really it just smells like money. Inside, I stare. The apartment is at least double the size of Ben's, perhaps bigger. A brightly lit, open-plan space, bisected by a giant bookcase. Floor-to-ceiling windows look out over the rooftops and buildings of Paris. In the darkness, the illuminated windows of all the apartment buildings surrounding us make a kind of tapestry of light. How much would an apartment like this cost? Lots. That's all I can guess. Millions? Probably. Fancy rugs on the floor, huge works of modern art on the walls, bright splashes and streaks of colour, big bold shapes. There's one small painting, nearest to me. A woman holding some kind of pot. A window behind her. I spot the signature in the bottom right corner. Matisse. Okay. Holy shit. I don't know much about art, but even I've heard of Matisse. And everywhere, displayed on side tables, are little figurines, delicate glass vases. I bet even the smallest would fetch me more than I earned in a whole year in that shitty bar. It would be so easy to slip one. I'm suddenly aware of feeling watched. I look up and meet a pair of eyes. Painted, not real. A huge portrait. A man sitting in an armchair. Strong jaw and nose. Grey at the temples. Kind of handsome, if a little cruel looking. It's the mouth, maybe. The curl to it. The funny thing is, he seems familiar. I feel like I've seen his face before. I can't for the life of me think where. Could he be someone a bit famous? A politician, something like that? But I'm not sure why I'd recognise some random politician, let alone a French one. I don't know anything about that stuff. So it must be from somewhere else. But where on earth? My husband, Jacques. Sophie says, behind me. He's away on business at the moment, but I'm sure will be a small hesitation. Eager to meet you. He looks powerful. Rich. Obviously rich. Just friggin' look at the place. What does he do? He's in wine, she says. So that explains the thousands of bottles of wine in the cellar. The cave must also belong to her and her husband. Next, my eye travels to a strange display on the opposite wall. At first, I think it's some kind of abstract art installation, but on second glance, I see it's a display of old guns, each with a sharp, knife-like protrusion attached to the end. Sophie follows my gaze. From the First World War, Jacques likes to collect antiques. One's missing, I say. Yes, it's gone for repair. They require more upkeep than you might think. Bon, she says curtly. Come through and meet the others. We walk towards the bookcase. It's only now that I become aware of the presence of people behind it. As we skirt round it, I see them facing each other on two cream-coloured sofas. Mimi from the fourth floor and, oh no, Antoine from the first floor. He's staring at me as though he is exactly as pleased to see me as I am him. Surely he's the sort of neighbour you just give a wide berth and leave to their own devices. When I look back, he's still staring at me. It feels like something's crawling down my spine. It's such a random grouping of people. Nothing in common with each other beyond the fact that they live nearby. Weird, quiet Mimi, who can only be 19 or 20. Antoine, a middle-aged mess, Sophie in her silk and diamonds. What could they have been talking about just now? It didn't sound like a polite, neighborly conversation. I can feel their eyes on me. Feel like they're all looking at me, like I'm an unknown specimen brought into a laboratory. Elle est dangereuse. I'm sure I didn't miss here. Perhaps you would like a glass of wine? Sophie asks. Oh, yeah, thanks. She lifts the bottle, and as the wine glugs out into a glass, I see the gold image of the chateau on the front and realize it's familiar. The match of the bottle I picked up from the cellar downstairs. I take a long sip of my wine. I need it. I sense three pairs of eyes watching me. They're the ones with the power in this room, the knowledge. I don't like it. I feel outnumbered, trapped. And then I think, fuck it. One of them must know something about what happened to Ben. This is my chance. I still haven't heard from Ben, I say. You know, I'm really starting to think something must have happened to him. I want to shock them out of their watchful silence. So I say, when I went to the police today, it happened so quickly, too quickly for me to see how it unfolded. But there's a sudden commotion, and I see that the girl, Mimi, has spilled her glass of wine. The crimson liquid has spattered over the rug, up one leg of the sofa. No one moves for a second. Maybe, like me, the other two are watching as the dark liquid soaks into the fabric and feeling grateful that it wasn't them. The girl's face is a livid, beetroot red.
Merde,
she says. It's all right, Sophie says. Pas de problème. But her voice is steel.